This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 159, recorded on March 20th, 2014. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios. Here in a very nice spring has arrived in Bellevue, Nebraska, and there's nothing better than spring in the Midwest and some warmer weather. And, of course, we post the show each week with world-class show notes out at TheAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, a couple different ways you can get those into us. Email the show. Just send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Of course, you can find me on Twitter, and we just crossed. If you listened to the show last week, I was begging for seven more people to push me over 1,000, and we made it that night. So I appreciate you guys doing that. And you can follow me on Twitter @JCollison, or now you can call in those questions, and a couple of you did that. And actually, I got a message Kevin and I will talk about a little bit later in the show through AudioBoo, which is something I haven't I forgot. You can record a message there on AudioBoo, but you can get that into us. Call that in, 402-478-8450, and we'll play that on the show. If you got a question you'd like us to answer, do that as well. And now Home Tech is a part of the Geeks Network. Find the links to this show and many other ones, many other really good podcasts going on, Home Server Show and some of those as well, over at the Geeks Network, thegeeksnetwork.com. Join us in chat, listen live, and all that navigation that we have for both PC and for tablets, and even your Windows phone or iPhone or Android phone. All that stuff is available on our on the live page, theaverageguy.tv/live or /live2. That will get you there as well. Okay, we got a great show for you tonight. I've been pimping this for the last 4 weeks or so, and pretty excited about talking about the on-air player. We have Daniel Volca from San Francisco, and he is the co-founder and CEO of On Air Player. Daniel, thanks for coming on and being a part of the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. We found you, or I found you, actually through Facebook, and I had gotten a message. I seen it somewhere, and I clicked on Air Player, and it was a like thing. You know, hey, maybe you'll like this, and so maybe you guys were doing some marketing through Facebook. But I took a look at it, and I kind of said, I was like, this is kind of an interesting product. But before we dive into that, I want to know a little bit about you, so nobody knows you. Tell us about you, where you're from, how you ended up in San Francisco, maybe how you got the company started. Let's just start with a little bit about you.
Well, I came to the States, to San Francisco, some 7 years ago. Started to work at SAP. And worked there for some 5 years down in the valley as a computer scientist, doing all kind of interesting coding and stuff, more on the enterprise side. And about 2 years ago, I quit my job there and started pursuing my passion. I was always a big music geek and just saw an opportunity there where I thought, this is missing, nobody's doing this, let's just try. So it was started as a side project, and more became more and more serious, and at some point, yeah, I went full time on it, and since that, I'm working on an Air Player. Yeah, pretty much have bootstrapped it from scratch.
Now, obviously you're not here from the United States, you came from Germany. What really made you... Why the move to, you know, there's a thriving tech community in Europe and especially in Germany. What made you want to come to the West Coast?
Well, look outside, the weather, dude.
That's true. That is true.
Not only. I mean, it's on the one hand, the weather and climate here is awesome, but as thriving as the tech scene is in Europe, it is good, but nothing compares to Silicon Valley. And as a computer tech guy, this is like the mecca to go to. And so I was offered a position here. And yeah, I just came for 6 months initially to give it a try. And yeah. Fell in love with this place and stayed.
Well, a good reason, in the pre-show, you and I talked a little bit about San Francisco, and it's one of my favorite cities of all time. I would never want to live there because of the crazy traffic and those things, but it's a great place to spend a week or two, and so I'd like to do that. I haven't been out there in a couple years. I want to do that as well. I missed Kevin, and I want to bring Kevin in real quick and just introduce him, Kevin Schoonover. Kevin, of course, has been on the show a lot, and when we talk about home servers and media stuff, Kevin is the go-to guy. He seems to know more than anybody else, and so, Kevin, welcome, and feel free to jump in here as I ask some questions.
Absolutely.
So, Daniel, let's go back to the – so you said the on-air player about 2 years ago. You're kind of a music geek, so you kind of started – this idea. Tell us how it got, you know, those early days as you started coding, and then kind of bring us up to speed with where you're at now with On Air Player.
I think it all started when I, for the first time, had an iPad in my hand in some Apple store. That's for the first time, my first tablet, actually, that I was playing around with. And here at home, I always connected all my, as I said, I'm a music geek. It's all connected, and it's in some way works. I can stream from everywhere to everywhere, but on the one hand, it's really complex, or was complex, to set all that up, and it's still a little iffy to use it. Always turn a TV on there and use the mouse every time you need to skip to the next song. And when I had that iPad in my hand, I thought, geez, this is exactly what you need. You want to sit on your couch, you want to have this thing in your hand and control the music and actually have the music played on those good stereo that I spent quite some money on. And actually, I want my music not to be limited to the music on my iPad, but should be able to be everywhere on my server in my room next door or in the cloud or whatever. So that was pretty much how it started. I just thought, why is there nothing like that out there? And I found some things, but nothing that really satisfied me to the extent where I thought, this is exactly what I want. So I started playing with it and coding a bit and got into it, and yeah, one thing, one step, go to the next, and here I am.
Yeah. How, Daniel, how hard is it to do a startup in the San Francisco area? I mean, you're in one of the most expensive retail markets. Can you still hear me, Daniel?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. You froze up on me, so I just want to make sure. You're in one of the most expensive real estate markets in the world. And here you are starting your own company. How is that going? How many employees do you have? How many developers are there? There's other folks. If you're the co-founder, there's got to be at least another one there. How has that process gone for you?
Yeah, quite well so far. I mean, yeah, starting a company is both a lot of fun and very exciting and extremely hard at the same time. The process itself has been pretty going well. I mean, I never regretted doing it. So we are right now, my co-founder is Penfan Sun. She's our designer, basically designed everything you see about On Air Player, website players and everything. And then we have two more employees that are helping me with the coding side. So we're basically right now a team of four plus whenever we need some help here or there, maybe a contractor, but this is the core team.
And I assume, are those other two full-time as well?
Yeah, meanwhile they are. I mean, haven't been all the time, but ramping up slowly. Right now they are full-time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's that's awesome. You're in the heart of you know, the tech mecca there in San Francisco, a lot of incubation of new tech companies that are there. One of the thing, and so for folks who haven't already, if you're listening on the video or if you're listening on the audio or the video, head out to onairplayer.com. You'll want to take a look at this. They've done a nice job on their site of kind of laying out what it does. Now, we all come from kind of a home server community. A lot of the folks that listen here were folks that came out of one of our very first podcasts where we talked about the home server show, or that's the home server product. And so we all are used to consolidating all our files in one place, right? We are constantly thinking about doing that. One of the unique things about what you're doing is you don't ever have to move your music from any of the devices that you have, right? It just plays them from, so I can, if it's on my phone and I'm on the iPad, I can play it as long as I have connectivity to my phone, right? It doesn't require movement, right?
Correct, yeah. That's exactly what it's about. So the idea really is simple yet powerful. Whatever device you take in your hand, you simply have all your music in the list and can play it, no matter where it is stored. So it can be stored locally on your device, it can be stored on your phone, it can be stored on some computer. You can link as many devices as you want, and whatever device you grab, you always have the sum of the music of that is stored on all the devices that you have imported from all those devices. So yeah, there is no more. We're trying to so far there has been two ways to actually being able to access your music. One is either you connect your device and you sync. So first you consolidate everything somewhere locally into one server, and then whatever device you grab, you connect it via USB cable and you sync all the music and get into that hell, or you upload everything to something like Google Drive or so, which probably takes you a week or two or more, depending on your music collection and internet speed. And so both of those are kind of a pain. And our approach is, yeah, to get rid of that necessity to begin with. Simply say you don't need to consolidate anymore. Simply have an AirPlayer running on all your devices, make sure they're on, and then the music is just there. You don't even see in the UI where the music is coming from. It just is there. It just works, even in the browser.
And that's the key, right? Those devices have to be on and connected. One of the questions I asked you in the pre-call before we did is, what if I'm in a, you know, what if that MP3 is on my phone and it's in a bad, you know, my phone happens to be in a bad service area or is not connected with some good bandwidth. How does your product handle that when it's the where it's being pulled from may not have really a very good connectivity?
Well, usually the case is that you have most of your music somewhere consolidated, or at least on some computer at home, maybe on multiple, not consolidated. And then you have that music synced onto your phone, right? So you usually have it on two or more locations anyways. An AirPlayer detects that and doesn't show you doubles in the list, but shows it only as one song. And when you play it, it decides what device to take it from. So it always takes it from the device with the best internet connectivity. And we also detect if the device completely goes offline. So if you turn off your computer at home, then all those files that were only on that computer and not on any other will simply be hidden, so you don't see them anymore. You cannot try to play them.
Are they grayed out, so you can't see them? Like, you know you have it, but it's just not available, or is it completely removed off the music list?
Right now, it's actually completely removed off, but we're thinking about changing that to be grayed out at the end, yeah, because people might get confused.
When you talk about changes like that, how tied in is the user community to what you're doing? Do you get a lot of feedback from users that are using your product? And I mean, it sounds like you guys are fairly agile, so you can move pretty quickly. Are you getting a lot of feedback from your customers?
We are. So right now, we haven't really launched big time yet. It's, I would call the current state that we're in an extended public beta, a few thousand users. And yeah, it's the core users, I would say, the geeks that love streaming their music around and play with new technology, and I'm getting a lot of valuable feedback about things that could be better here or there, and we're actively working on incorporating as much as we can with that. So if any of the listeners has ideas how to make it better, I'm open ears. Feedback is always welcome.
He's very responsive.
So Kevin, talk a little bit about you've been using the product this week and have tried some things out. So give us a little rundown on maybe the use for you, and then an example of how responsive they've been.
Sure. So I downloaded the app to one of my many Android tablets, and I think I started with my HP Slate. Came up, worked fine. Loaded it on my home PC that has all of my music on it. And you know, I guess the first concern, whenever I've tried to use products like this in the past, whether it's the app with my Sonos product, or there was another product here a few years ago, Twonky Beam, that was trying to do a similar kind of thing. It seemed like if you pointed that product to try and get it to manage a folder of music on a Windows PC that had Windows Media Center running or Media Player running, it just seemed to create a problem. I never had great luck with that. If I took that same folder of music and popped it over to a NAS, or you know, just a file share someplace, always worked perfect. So actually, you know, On Air was one of the first products I've seen where I just pointed it at my folder on my PC here. It picked up all the songs and seems to give me access to all of them. And my second big concern, and someone in chat will ask me why, but It did not seem to have any problem with the fact that I have well over 120,000 songs, and it you know, nobody should have 120,000 songs, but I do, and it didn't seem, searches take quite a while, but that's something I've seen with other tools like this, is they choke on that much song volume, or they're not able to categorize that. So I guess that was one of my questions to Daniel. Is there a song limit, or a recommended catalog size, or where you at with that?
I mean, 120,000 songs is probably outside any recommended catalog size for any software. But yeah, so right now we're actually working on having no limits there. I'm not saying that if you would put 500,000 songs on it that you wouldn't crash it. Probably it could still. But if you do, we'll fix it. Our goal is to have it work with a million songs if it needs to be. So just have no limit there, because that's one of those shortcomings that you have if you would traditionally uploaded everything to the cloud, right? You pretty soon run out of memory up there, out of disk space, or it gets pretty damn expensive paying for it. So one advantage of using an AirPlayer for that is it's all on your home computers. It's your own hard disks, so you can have as much songs as you can fit your hard disk, so we're trying to not limit that software-wise. That being said, we're still in a beta mode, so I'm glad your 120,000 users work well. If you put a million at it, I cannot yet. If it doesn't work, contact us. We'll fix it.
Well, that sounds good. And from a usage point of view, just prior to the show starting, I did throw it on my my wife has a Nook, and it works on the Nook, so it came right up. And I'd asked about DLNA devices, and as I was looking through the list on here, so it's got my Samsung tablet, my Motorola tablet, my HP tablet, my Nook, and then there was something popped up that I didn't recognize, and then I realized my daughter's downstairs watching a movie on a DVD Blu-ray player, and it picked up the Blu-ray player as a DLNA device. So it did grab that one up and seems to be pretty astute at picking up the DLNA products as well.
Yeah. So the way an AirPlayer works is, maybe we should step one back there for users that haven't tried it yet. You cannot only access all your, so on the one hand, you can access all your music from all the devices. Whatever your device you grab, you have all your music in one big list and can search over it and have playlists and everything. But then there's also, I'm not sure how well you can see it, maybe I do a screen share later, there's that stream to button where you simply can select on what devices the music should play. So there's, you simply tell the system, I want it on my TV right now, or on my stereo, or my laptop, or on my phone. You simply select the devices where the music should come out of, even multiple at a time, and then it works. And then you can select the songs, and it plays there. And one of the special things about an AirPlayer is all this works across networks. So there is no need to be in the same Wi-Fi anymore. You can take your phone, you just came home, forgot to turn on Wi-Fi, it still works. You can say next song, and it still remote controls your computer that is connected to your local Wi-Fi at home. And those devices where you, that allow you, or that list of devices where you can simply select to stream to, stream the music to, is made out of, on the one hand, all your installations of an AirPlayer. So if you have installed an AirPlayer on your phone, tablet, computer, and so on, all those show up. But on top of that, if any of those devices locally finds another device it can stream to, like that DLNA Blu-ray player of yours, then that will simply be added to the list, and you can select it, and it'll work. So it even works if you're now listening to a song from your phone, and you're not in your local Wi-Fi, so it's on 4G or so, and you select stream to that DVR, what an AirPlayer will do is it'll stream to your local computer, which can see the DVR, which then passes it on to the DVR. So yes, DLNA devices are supported. They're automatically detected and simply added to the list.
Kevin, you've gone a little orange, so put your hand up to your camera there, and let's see if we can reset you. That made it worse. It's all right. We'll get you. There we go. We'll get you fixed. Daniel, perfect. Thank you. Daniel, from a monetization standpoint, so you say you're in beta. I couldn't find anywhere in there where you were making any kind of money on this thing yet. What are your monetization plans? Because, you know, none of this stuff can work free forever. What are you guys thinking in the future? Have you thought all the way through that yet?
Yeah, we have. We have some plans. I mean, for now, it's all free, obviously, as you saw. Down the road, there will be some kind of freemium model. So there will be always a free version, as it is right now. Maybe at some point, some ads will pop up if you use a free version. And then we'll have a premium version that removes all the ads and adds some cool new functionality and stuff like that. So that is one model, we're playing with a few others too. We're thinking about maybe adding online storage that you can optionally simply say 5 gigabytes or so, your favorite 5 gigabytes of your music will automatically be detected by an air player and behind the scenes stream to some online server where you then are not affected anymore if your home computer suddenly runs out of if you have a power outage at home, the home computer is off or so. But there will definitely be a way how you can dump some dollars on us if you like.
Well, you know, these services, I'm always leery when they say free forever, just because, you know, eventually you guys want to make some money off this. And yeah. So just wondering what your thoughts are on there going forward. One of the guys, the other Jim in chat says, when you use Stream 2, in other words, If you're on your TV, right, or if you're on, say, you're on your iPad and you're pulling it off your phone, it's physically coming off your phone and going to the iPad, right? I mean, it's streaming right off one device and going to the next, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's really in-between devices streaming. Correct. Yeah.
And I like the idea of the more popular music. Amazon kind of does a little of this with their weird caching for your music, where the more you use it, then it remembers it on the device and it starts, you know, it keeps it on the device local so you don't have to go back to the cloud to get it. So I love that idea. You know, I had this thought about listening to podcasts because many of us are big podcast listeners. Those are just MP3 files. I'm assuming if I download that, if I have a file where I download my podcast, I could point it toward those and listen to my podcasts on any device, same way.
Of course,
it should work.
Exactly the same thing. I mean, it's an MP3 after all. It's a player does not make any difference whether it's a song or somebody speaking.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's even if you just download it into your folder that you have imported on Windows or Mac, we're monitoring those. So in the moment you download it, it will automatically be detected and just show up on all your devices a few seconds later.
You know what would be cool is here's a request for new enhancements. What would be cool is a little bit of a whisper sync, especially with podcasts, where I could be listening to it on my phone, and then when I get home and I bring up the on-air player on my PC, it picks up automatically right where I left off. Or maybe that's already does that already work?
That Somewhere? Does already work. Surprise!
Oh. Hey, look at that.
Yeah, so if you use that Stream 2, you listen to a song, start at one device, and simply click on the Stream 2 button. Maybe we show the UI at some point.
Let's do that now. Let's do that now. Kevin, don't let me hog the whole thing. Jump in here with your questions as well. But, see if you can get your screen connected there.
Yep.
True. If you're listening to the audio-only version of this, you might want to pop over to theaverageguy.tv. /HT159, the video will be embedded there, and you can come to about the 20 minute mark, and that should, or 25 minute mark, that should get you there. Okay, let me bring that up for you. Hold on, full screen. There we go. Let's see.
Does that work? Do you see the whole player, or is that only...
Nope, we see the whole thing. Yeah, now, how are you doing that? You're just screen sharing from your Mac, right?
Yes, I'm screen sharing from my Mac right now. That's the Mac version of the player. So what you can see here, that's my local library now, where I can simply access all my music. Most of that is actually on another computer, my Windows machine. Some of it is on the Mac, some of it is on the phone. And I can play any song. Let's play something. Oh, maybe not, because I don't hear you anymore. But this is the stream to button that we were talking about earlier. So not only I simply have all my songs here in one list, but once I hit the stream to button, I get all my devices and I can listen to it on one device and during playback simply add multiple other devices too. So you cannot only stream to one device, but even multiple at a time. And you can also during playback add any device or remove any device from the list. That seamlessly works. So yes, you can listen to your podcast and your on your phone, come home, continue playing it on your media center, then opening up a web browser and picking it up there and continuing listening there. So
I noticed in the window the term play on, and in certain menus it says stream to. Is there any difference in the nomenclature there?
There is not. That should be a little better evened out, yeah. It's the same thing.
I might have found a new podcast player. You know, I use BeyondPod on Android to listen to my podcast. Most of the time I'm listening to them in the car, but from time to time I'll pull in the garage and, you know, it's connected via Bluetooth to my car stereo and I could come in the house and play that on any number of things with a little bit of trickery. In this case, it would really be nice. I could just say, okay, now I want you to play that on my computer, right? And it'll just automatically start picking up from where I left off and just keep playing it.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly what it does. Yeah.
Yeah, and it'd be probably better for me to then download those podcasts at home to the place where the bandwidth is the best. Today I download them on my phone, and that's okay. Mm. In this scenario, I could download them home and then just stream them. Basically, I'm streaming them as I listen to them. I guess there's people have different opinions about whether it's better to listen to it streaming or better to listen to it downloaded, but interesting.
Yeah.
Was said earlier, the first thing I did with this was, you know, got it running on one tablet. The next day I took that tablet to work, and that's a tablet. I have one of those little Belkin Bluetooth devices to allow Bluetooth devices to connect right to a stereo receiver. And, literally I had my whole music collection from home in the office without having to load it up. And one of the things I had done in the past, I just changed offices at work. I've always had a little media computer at the office with a 1 terabyte drive with all this music on it. So, you know, literally for one use case, I could look at OnPlayer as, you know, giving me the ability to listen to all my music in the office or on the road or wherever and not have to have that extra computer in the office or extra drive or, you know, extra storage space. There are a lot of, if you look at, you know, the Synology boxes, if you have one of those for backup, there's, some audio streaming apps on those as well. But they tend to be fairly point-to-point. You know, they just give you a way to tie one device back in. And I think a real advantage with the on-air player here is this, you know, multiple devices, multiple touch points of being able to stream and be able to, you know, have some automation there to listen to something on the way home and pick it up when you walk in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And you actually don't even need your tablet with you at work. We have a web player too. So
right.
You can
absolutely
use your tablet in the car, listening to it there, and at work you simply open up a browser and you have all your music there too and listen to it. And even if you want to play pranks on your wife at home or your dog who stay at home, you can turn on the music at home if you like. Not that it makes much sense, but
it would work. No, we'd try it. Somebody would try it for sure.
Yeah.
It's funny you mention that because my latest obsession is home automation products, and a lot of the home automation things are tying into your home audio system to, you know, allow you to make announcements or kick off music. So that'll probably be my next thing, is to see how I can tie this in with home automation as well.
Daniel, one of the guys is asking, let me find it again, it was about supported codecs. So MP3, obviously, but are there any other file extensions that you guys support?
Yes. Actually, we have a special way how we treat that. We do not decode music ourselves at all. on AirPlayer itself is more like shuffling the music from where it is to where it needs to be and remote control everything. But we use a local media player that is on a local system to actually render it, which is on Windows, it's Windows Media Player. On Mac, it's the Mac audio layer. On Android, it's the Android media player. So it's basically every device, every codec that is supported by these local media players will be supported by an AirPlayer. And one specialty is if we find VLC, Video LAN client, installed on your machine, then we'll find that and use it to play all those codecs like FLAC and others that are a little more fancy and less supported in the mainstream players. So yes, we'll play, depending on your setup, we play pretty much everything.
So it really does try to take advantage of what's local in the use here. This is, I mean, besides the streaming fact, you are kind of interrogating the local device, whatever that is, and taking advantage of whatever's installed there.
Correct, yes. That's simply, I mean, we are, it's on the one hand a technical thing, because we started off being a very, not only cross-networks, but also cross-platform product, right? We have products where we have apps for Android phone, Android tablet, Ouya gaming console, Google TV, Windows, Mac, Linux, and the web. Forget something. No, I think that was it. And so, this is just the easiest way to actually make it work everywhere seamlessly by using what is already there on those local platforms and reusing a working system instead of building it yourself. On top of that, it would make it a little complicated with license payments if we were to actually really decode those codecs ourselves. We would basically have to pay for every codec that we do. We would have to pay some cents for every download that we have. And this way, we simply don't do it, so we don't have to pay that.
Yeah, no, it's good, right? It's already covered. The licensing is already covered. Any thoughts to video? Are you guys trying that out, or is just video? Yeah, what are your thoughts on video?
On the long-term roadmap, for sure. So the way an AirPlayer is built, the technology underneath, it is not specific to music or audio only at all. You could reuse the technology to just build the same thing for a video, if you like. We just decided that we concentrate on one thing to start with, do that really, really well, as good as we can, and once that takes off, extended or do a second product next to it using the same technology to do the other thing really well. So we figured trying to do everything a little bit will just destroy the product to start with. So no video, there's no video yet. At some point, if an AirPlayer is a huge success, probably there will be an AirPlayer video too, yes.
And any thoughts to making it interactive with Amazon or Google Music? You know, I personally have pushed all my music to the Amazon Music Cloud. I assume today I can't access that, or can I?
Today not, but we're actually planning to do that.
Oh, good.
Sooner than later. The whole idea about an AirPlayer is access your music wherever it is stored. So for now, that wherever means whatever device at home, be it your computer or tablet or phone. But cloud could be one of those devices too. So we're working on integrating those cloud services like Amazon or Google Drive or Dropbox, or I don't want to promise too much at this point, but there will be some cloud storage integration. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Kevin, what else?
For anybody trying this, if you do run into problems, the frequently asked questions section is really good. I did notice on almost every device I tried it on, the first time I would bring it up and run it, it looked like things were playing, but I had no audio, and stopping the song, rebooting the device seemed to take care of that, and it sounds like you're working on that fix as well. But that seems to be a fairly common one, and all my stuff is Android that I've tried it on so far. The web player seems to work fine on everything, so I think the only thing I haven't tried that on yet is a Windows RT, so I'll give that a shot and make sure that works as well.
Yeah, we're actually working right now on finishing a Windows Store app that will run on Windows RT tablets.
Windows? Really?
Yeah.
Everybody here will be happy to hear that. We have quite a few Windows Phone Windows fans that are here, and so that would be awesome as well, yeah.
That's great. I mean, unfortunately, no Windows Phone yet, only tablets. I basically ported the tablet version that you the same thing that you see on the web UI or on your Android tablet, ported that to Windows, and that UI is not really suited for small form factor phones yet.
Yeah, well, you're part of the way there, right, in some of the work that you're doing. So you'll get.
I will be eventually, but
we are Windows Phone guys. There's a lot, you know, that we do. We're probably the only community on the planet that talks about Windows phones, but we do talk about that. Kevin, what else do you got? Anything?
Well, I think we've hit all of them. I guess the only other thing I was going to ask Daniel is the. You know, would it be beneficial to, you know, give you feedback on devices that we found it to work on or devices that we're having trouble with? I know you've got your email out there for that. I'm just curious as to how much information would be helpful for you to get from the community.
The more the better. Okay. So yes, please. If you try it and something doesn't work out of the box the way it should, please shoot me an email or contact me on Twitter or Facebook. Or I'm always happy to hear about that. Always happy to help. The way OnAirPlayer is envisioned to be working is really more for the non-techies. So for the normal people out there, should be as simple as install, next finish, login, and it works. You should not be having to fiddle around to make things work, and if you ever actually do, then we're very interested in fixing that for your specific device, and please let us know. Yeah,
very good. That's great to know, because I think a lot of times, you know, they're made for tech, and the average guy kind of gets lost in the shuffle of that, or can't figure it out. One more, I've got two more questions for you, and then we'll let you go. Other Jim out of chat asked, how synchronized can the players be if I want several rooms to play the same song at the same time on different devices, like when you're hosting a big gigantic rave party at your house. Will they all play together? If you send it to those devices, will they be in sync? That good?
We are working on it. So yes and no. They are currently roughly in sync, plus minus a second or two, which is not good enough if you have two stereos in the same room or so. It'll have a terrible echo. But we're actually working on getting it down to the milliseconds so that you can really can have two stereos next to each other and just sounds like one.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Party
yeah.
mode.
Exactly. Something like that.
Yeah, put a party mode button and every device turns on automatically and you just have a big party. That would be pretty cool.
You can. Especially since that OnAirPlayer works across networks, you could do even other cool things. We might play around with them at some point. Some kind of, now that you mentioned party mode, you throw a party at home, you stream to your five rooms and control it from your tablet or so while walking around. Imagine your friends that did not join your local Wi-Fi, but they have their phone with them too, think, oh, damn, I have that one song that I want to play. If they could just scan a QR code or so, or even just by proximity, oh, join party, and then they can add something to your queue and can play something. So things like that is what we're.
Yeah, that's kind of a Groove Shark concept. They do a little bit of that where you can broadcast your own, and then people can suggest songs and you can play those. It'd be great if there was a social component to that, and if we friended each other, then and you shoot me a song when I play it, I have the permissions to pull it off your device and. Yeah. Just playing it. I wonder if I'm sure there's licensing problems with that.
Yeah, probably at that point. Once we do that, we'll have to get some contracts in place to keep that legal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, it's only ideas.
There's got to be a way to share music, right? I mean, there's got to be a way to get that done. Last question for you, in that on your site, you say, I'm a developer. Are there any ways to extend the OnAirPlayer? Are you looking for additional developers to think about additional functionality? How do you approach that if there's somebody who, and then, you know, what would I need to know as a developer to be able to do those kinds of things?
Yes, we are. So if you have concrete ideas how to integrate OnAirPlayer with some other device out there, stream to, I don't know, your Roku box or whatever is your favorite gadget and you think OnAirPlayer is great, but why isn't it there? Happy to talk about it. It is we do not yet have a published API that you can simply use off the website, but internally it is built very modular and it is relatively simple to add music sources like input sources, new online storage sources, for instance, or add new device types that you can stream to, like Heroku Box or whatever else. It's relatively easy to add those things, or at least there's an API for that. So if you're a hacker and want to get your hands dirty, just shoot me an email and I might just send over the API.
Yeah, there you go. Very good. I lied. One more question. Do you have anything that you want to share with us that we didn't cover? Any new things coming up that you want to share? Anything like that?
Well, we actually did cover most of it. The Windows 8 app I already mentioned. That is coming up the next days rather than weeks, I hope. Other than that, no. Just okay. Keep playing with it and please send feedback. The more, the better. Always looking to make it better.
Very cool. Daniel, I appreciate you taking the time. We're going to, if I invited you back in a couple months to give us an update, I mean, it sounds like you guys are changing fairly rapidly at this point, adding new products, and maybe there's a right time to have you back to talk about some of the new things that are happening. I'd hope you'd come back on and kind of give us an update.
Totally.
That, all right?
Very cool. Happy to. Yep.
Daniel, thanks for taking the time to be with us tonight. We'll let you go. We know it's 6:45 on the West Coast, and it's probably time for you to have some dinner. So I'm sure you have a bunch of coding that you got to do tonight.
I do indeed.
You do. So we'll let you go. Daniel, thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great to meet you guys. And yeah, see you soon, hopefully.
All right, have a great evening. You can go ahead and hang up when you're ready.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye.
Good night. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great you got him on. It's when you first mentioned it, I had not seen the technology before, but I've been every time I find one, Twonky was probably the closest one I found, and every demo I sat in at CES or on Twonky, everything worked perfect. And every time I ever tried to get Twonky to run at home, I could never get it to work. Mm. And it just never worked properly. This one still has a few issues. He's still working through stuff. But when I first hit him, the first thing I had as an issue was I installed it, and the next morning Malware Bytes was going off that it was a malicious website was trying to send data out of my computer, and I just grabbed the log file and sent it over to him, and literally he responded within minutes, asking me a couple of questions and grabbing up more info. So he's very responsive and very interested in the product. So
yeah.
I'd recommend everybody listening to this jump up, grab it, play with it. It really really seems to be a neat way of mobilizing your audio products.
Yeah, no, there's some great comments out in chat as well for the folks that have listened. You know, if you do contact him, let him know you heard it here. That'd be great to, you know, as we do, I've mentioned this on the podcast several times, I'm really working hard to fill the first 30 or 35 minutes of the show with some interesting content from small business, small tech companies. Just, this is our target audience. These are guys that aren't getting on the big podcast, but will come on and talk to us. There's some really interesting things there. And so let them know you heard it here on Home Tech, and that's always good for me. That gets them excited about coming back on the show and helps me get folks to come back. So even if you just want to shoot him, he said his email is on the site. Is that right?
Yeah, if you go to the site and just go to the FAQ, at the bottom of the FAQ, is other questions. It's daniel@onplayer.com.
And
I go straight to him.
No, very open. You know, you got to love a story of four developers, San Francisco, you know, building an app that they want to take over the world with. And and I'm sure they're looking for some, you know, I don't know what the VC is behind them. Certainly they got to have some support going on for that, but it's kind of exciting. I like it. I'll be honest. I don't try these products before the interview on purpose because I want to ask questions. If I do that, I won't ask the questions that the average guy wants to know, right? And so, Kevin, I appreciate you. We talked about this on Tuesday, and you did try it out, and I'm glad you did. That really added to what we were trying to do here. But no, some pretty cool stuff. I will remind everybody listening that next week we'll have the CEO of Mover.io. So this is a product that Rennie first found for us back on, I think, 148. I'm making that up. I don't really know. But he first came to the podcast with Mover.io, a way to move your files between cloud storage companies. So if you want to go between Amazon and Copy or between Box and Dropbox or whatever, you can set up these connectors and they'll move those files for you. You get up to 10 gig on their plan. And there's some, you gotta pay for some of that movement. But for folks who have bandwidth limitations, it might be a way around those. It might be worth paying for that to have some of that done. And so that's coming up next week. If you want to come back, we'll have the CEO of Mover.io on as well. Kevin, I'm super interested. Now I'm thinking I might change the way I do my podcast stuff, because the way I listen to my podcast, I mean, I might set that up with the on-air player, and that allows me to kind of listen to it anywhere.
Yeah, no, this I've not tried any other formats other than the music end of this. And now I'm thinking of all the questions I forgot to ask. It would be interesting when you set it up. It lets you point at different, you know, folders. I'd almost want to keep podcasts separate from music and separate. That'd be a good question. I'll have to hit him up on the website to see if there's an easy way to do that. But that would be very cool, is to just have that handoff transition as you walk in the house. Because, you know, and maybe it's a small set of the population, but whether it's podcasts or music, that kind of thing happens all the time. I'd love a seamless way to go from the car to the house.
Yeah, especially for me at work. Because I'd pull into the parking lot and I'm just getting to the meat of the podcast, and then I could come in the office, turn my phone, put my phone in, plug the speakers into it, right? But I've got some other stuff set up. It would be super convenient. As soon as I walk in the office, just go play to this, and bam, it just starts playing right where I left off.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. Let's see. I was going to say one more thing on. Oh, if you're going to try On Air Player and you want to give some feedback, that will play on the show, it'd be great. Love to have that. You can send it to me in a voicemail. That's probably the easiest way to do it. Just dial 402-478-8450. Sorry, that's a U.S. number, and I get folks that are overseas. There might be some charges associated with that. You can also, as I'm going to talk about here in just a few minutes, you can use AudioBoo. So if you haven't looked at AudioBoo in the last, actually they're on their third round of VC and in their third different company, I think, making that up too. I don't know that for sure, but they launched, they kind of faltered, then they've kind of come back and they have some new management there at AudioBoo. AudioBoo.fm is that. And The whole concept started, it's kind of a Snapchat concept for audio. So you could record little audio, imagine all your conversations being like you're leaving a voicemail. So instead of typing out an email, you can just send an audio voicemail to them. And so we've got one I want to play for you here in just a second. Kevin, this is where I'm going to want you to put your thinking cap on. So listen to this call carefully. And if you're in the community, listen carefully. This is one of our listeners. And he listens on AudioBoo, which I thought was really cool. That's one of those places that I put the podcast out every week. We do it on Podomatic, we do it on Spreaker, and we do it on AudioBoo. And I get, depends on the platform, but I get anywhere from 25 to 50 listens maybe on any one of those platforms. There's folks out there that listen to it there. But he called, and he'll announce his name. I don't want to butcher it. He'll do that in the call, but let me turn off this and have a listen to this message.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Feliciano, and I've been following your show for quite some time now. I am into the whole tech stuff as well. I'm not very familiar with the whole home server stuff. That may be something that I may be interested in, but I've never looked into that kind of stuff. so I don't really know much about it. I've just...
So I'll say homeservershow.com. That's where you need to go if you're doing that, homeservershow.com.
Known some things about it because I've been following you and, you know, the average guy. But other than that, I just wanted to come on here with a question. I've been into computers since I was, like, in sixth grade. Then eventually got into the adaptive technology field because I lost my vision in 2006. And, you know, I'm currently an instructor to people that are visually impaired. So I teach them how to use all the talking computers, magnifiers kind of stuff. You know, adaptive technology. But the main reason I wanted to contact you was because I purchased a Olympus LS14 digital recorder, and it has an SD card. And I wanted to know if there was some type of SD reader that could transmit that file from the SD card to my iPhone so I can be able to upload it to, like, Audioboo or, you know, other things on the internet. I know I could, you know, do everything through a laptop, but sometimes I don't have the laptop around, and I could use something like this if it's available, because it would be more convenient. But I'm not sure if there's such a thing or something similar that could help me do that, and I wanted to talk to you about that because you may have an answer for me or maybe another suggestion. I don't know. But I hope to hear from you soon and keep up with the average guy. I am following your podcasts, the Home Network. What is it? The Home Server Network.
Which just drives me crazy sometimes that people can't even get, we've talked about this, they get Home Tech and the Average Guy and all the other stuff mixed up. But let me finish the message here.
I don't remember the exact name, but it's the Average Guy. I have this app called Downcast on my iPhone, and I'm pretty much getting podcasts from there. So I hope you're able to get this message, because I'm not sure if you keep up with the messages on here.
And I do.
I don't hear from you soon. I may have to just contact you on your website.
No, he didn't have to. I sent him an Audioboo back.
Which method is available on your website. So we'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot.
I thought that was really cool that I've never used Audioboo that way. And I just got this email today, and it was like, you've got a message in Audioboo. And I was like, what? So I went over there, and a couple things. His Audioboo ID is the Blind Man 12V on Audioboo, if you want to follow him out there. Really cool that he's into technology. Oops, let me mute this side. He's into technology that for visually impaired people. First of all, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
I'm super impressed. That's an area that honestly, in our community, we don't even think about. You know, we all make the assumptions. You can see everything. You can hear everything, right? Pretty cool. But so his issue was, right, he's recording these things. He's got a audio recorder. And by the way, his audio was dynamite coming in. He was outside.
Yep.
He could hear the cars go by, but his audio was dynamite.
He's got an Olympus, which tend to be the really nice recorders. So if I understood what he was saying, he was trying to determine a way to get the recordings off the Olympus onto, was it his Mac or iPhone?
Onto the iPhone so that he could upload them to Audioboo. Obviously, the Olympus has got better audio quality than the iPhone does, so he wants to record it on the Olympus, and then think about, okay, how could I switch this so it could get to my iPhone? So, you know, he said he could take that out, put it in his laptop, and do it that way. But he's just thinking, this is what he's got in his hands. Somebody had mentioned, like, an iFi card. You know, iFi is one of those that automatically moves that from a camera up to the network. or up to a network. But I don't know, Kevin, any other thoughts?
Well, so I just wanted to double check, and the recording standards for the Olympus are MP3 and WMA. So he, you know, if he's doing MP3, that would be compatible with the iPhone. I was just trying to see if any of the Olympus, you know, not to soak him for a bunch of money, but I wanted to see if any of the Olympus products had their own Wi-Fi connectivity, just to see if they, were like cloud ready versions. The iFi card is probably the first thing that I thought of as well. I mean, that's probably one of the easiest ways to get things to move from that point of view.
Hey, what about this? So Bill Rockhold came on 2 weeks ago, and we talked about that RAV Power USB. I mean, it's got an SD slot in it. It's got a hard drive. It's on the network. You see that as a storage device, couldn't you not, if you could put that SD card in there, it would read it as a drive. Then on the iPhone, you would just go to that folder there, because it's open and available on the network, grab it, send it up, RAV Power. I think, let's see what show that was, because he is a listener. So I think that was two shows ago. That is, hey, you were on show just recently, 156.
Yep.
Let's see, Cyber Frontiers, here it is. So the review of it is, we posted a review first. So if you go, there's no easy way. I think it's theaverageguy.tv/RAVPower, all one word, RAVPOWER. That'll get you to the review, and then the actual show is going to be show number 157. So theaverageguy.tv/HT157 will get you there. Yeah, and that's $44.
Yeah, no, that may be an interesting way to do it. And that's, ultimately he's going to have to get it into iTunes, you know, in some fashion to get it onto the iPhone, so to say. So, I mean, it's a little bit of the, I'm kind of defaulting back to...
Kevin, what I think he wants to do is just have access to the file so he can push it up to Audioboom.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. So in that sense, he could get it off. Bill's device would be an easy way to do that. That's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah, no, not intentionally done. but that was, I was just thinking, hey, that was a really good inexpensive device. It's multi-purpose. It'll charge your phone. You could plug your iPhone into it and charge it at the same time, if you wanted to. Not a bad way to pair those together. Other Jim said we should probably spell out iFi for him. So EYEFI. That's a little SD reader an SD card that has Wi-Fi capabilities built into the card. So you can send the data right off the card, right up to the network, and move it to a computer if you'd like. So not a bad. That would work automatically for his laptop, right? If he did an iFi card. Although I don't know. Well, that'd be interesting if that iFi card would work in this recorder, and when you're done, if it would automatically transmit up and then to a laptop automatically.
You didn't happen to jot down or catch which Olympus device he had, did you?
No, I didn't. We'd have to re-listen to the.
Okay. That's fine. I just did a quick search, and here's a review. January this year, Olympus introduces Wi-Fi packed voice recorder that plays nice with your smartphone. So I'll do. That's very interesting, and I really am glad he called in, because we talk about the average guy, and I've spent some time lately on the a lot of the education stuff, STEM stuff, and here in Minnesota we seem to be talking a lot about the technology gap or the technology divide, and we think about it in lots of different terms, and one of the areas that I just totally forget about is folks with disabilities, blindness, deaf, other
mobility.
Mobility, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And, my my daughter and I were watching a technology show. It was Asian technology, and Japan is spending just a lot of time realizing that their population is aging, and they're working on robotics and different things from mobility and interaction, and realizing you get older, you don't see as well. So how do you have computer devices to interact with people that don't see that well? So very interesting topic. Real interesting stuff.
Other Jim says, it looks like Toshiba has a product called Flash Air and a Transcend Wi-Fi SD card. So that might be an option to look into. Other Jim, if you can throw a price in chat, that would be great, just to kind of see what that would run. Yeah, that used to be an impossible problem, and now there's a couple different ways to do that. Huh? Very cool. Well, no, I do appreciate the call in on that. And again, if you go to audioboo, AUDIOBOO .fm, I am just Jay Collison out there. If you want to give that a try, we also post the podcast out there as well. And you know, again, I'll be honest, I have posted to Audioboo for a year and a half, maybe. Ooh, nothing. no feedback. You know, Audioboo came to me, and their marketing people approached me one day and said, "Hey, we'd like you to bring your podcast to Audioboo, and we're going to give you nearly unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, if you'll just come and promote your show out there." So we did that, and they featured us a couple times. Actually, we did a back show 130, maybe something. We did the iPad Air. Amish Gangar from Gallup joined me that night, and we did the iPad Air. That's done really well on Audioboo. That's picked up a couple hundred views out there. That's done the best by far, but I hadn't really ever thought it would go anywhere. I just kept doing it, and this is kind of cool. To get your message in, a good way to get your audio message in to me, just Jay Collison, you can follow me out there. Also, 402-478-8450, and Other Jim says that Toshiba, $38 U.S., so right in that price range, 40, 45. I like that RAV power device just because it's a battery and an SD card reader and a Wi-Fi device, and Bill really liked it. So it's one of those kinds of things. And remember, if you purchase any of this stuff, of course, you help us out if you go out to the Average Guy Amazon affiliate link. That's just theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. You guys continue to be super generous with that, by the way. We continue to set records, and I've got some money we can do some reviews with. So if you got something in the $100 range that you want to review, and I don't know, maybe I should...
Smart things.
Yeah, well, maybe this is one of these. I should buy that for him. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Let's stop trading email or voice messages on Audioboo, but send me your email so we can get hooked up. Maybe I can get you something along those lines. Love to have you try that out, whether it's the RAV power device or something else along those lines. We use the Amazon dollars. The other Jim was talking about Newegg, and they actually canceled my Newegg affiliate relationship and won't restart it again, so Newegg is dead to me along those lines. But you guys have been super, 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 super generous on Amazon, and I appreciate that. So if you want to review something, let me know. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. We'll get that done. Kevin, how's your home server modification plate selling? You know, the Schoondoggy, what do we call that thing?
That's the SDM, the Schoondoggy disk module.
It's doing
okay. You know, I probably get an order per day at least, and you know, they kind of bunch up a little bit, a couple at a time. There was a bit of pent up demand. I'm to simplify things, I'm using the US Postal Service to ship. Their one rate boxes tend to be, you know, very affordable in the US, and at least it seems like shipping to Canada and the rest of the world, the rate's not outrageously good, but no. I don't have to fight with customs very much. But oddly enough, I'm getting a lot of orders. I got somebody out of South Korea, bought four. And the nice thing about the one rate shipping is the more you pack in the box, it doesn't cost you anything extra on shipping. I just got an order today for somebody in Germany, and another order yesterday for someone in... one of the Czech, I think it was Czechoslovakia, if I'm not mistaken.
It would be the Czech Republic.
Czech probably. Republic, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So I'm getting a lot of, got a couple out of Malaysia, and so yeah, between Canada and Europe and Asia, I'm doing okay. I've had two.
Not
two,
so many here in the U.S.?
You know, it's probably about 50-50 right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. 50% in, 50% out. So it's and the thing is, I've done no advertising. I just wanted to work the bugs out of the process before mm-hmm. I started promoting it. So this week I'm not traveling for work, so I'll probably do a few things to try and drum up a little business. But so far everybody that's got one seems happy with it, and it seems to be they seem to be working well.
You'll know you've hit the big time when you get a Chinese ripoff.
Yes. I'm fully expecting that.
Then you just quit and you're like, my job here is done.
I've said from day one I made it too heavy. You know, it's in a way it's kind of too nice for a bracket. It's thick metal and it's countersunk and everything else. And you know, honestly, we all know somebody could stamp out 10,000 of them in China and sell them for $5 a piece. Yeah. You know.
But why would they? It's such a specialized product, you know.
That's true. Standpoint.
If folks are wondering what we're talking about, Kevin built a bracket that holds two additional hard drives for the Gen 8 microserver. Just Gen 8, right?
Just Gen 8, yes.
Just for the Gen 8. And so it allows you to add two additional drives to the Gen 8 box. That's been a real popular topic over at the Home Server Show. So if you go to the forums, that's the best place, homeservershow.com/forums. And if they wanted to look at the bracket, is there a shortcut to that?
Yeah, if you go under Gen 8, it's the store is tagged in one of the top. It's pinned to the top of the list under Gen 8. So just look under Gen 8, and you'll find it there.
Very cool, and you can go out and take a peek at what we're talking about. That's quite a story. If you're a listener of Home Tech, but you haven't really gotten a Home Server show, that has been a story that we've been following for the last couple months as. John Stutzman, and I think who else jumped in on that to help you develop that thing?
Lone Wolf is what he goes by over on the Home Server site. So John and Joe Miner and Lone Wolf have been my beta test crew, and has worked out very well. And
yeah.
Continue to learn with it too. You know, I thought I kind of took all the parameters into effect on it, and one of the guys found that, you know, really tall USB sticks bump into it. So I've had to, you know, make a little edit in my nomenclature just to point that out. Not a deal breaker, but just something to be aware of as well.
Yeah, you know how these vendors feel, right, when they sell these products and crazy people like us say, well, if you're standing on your head and the moon is in its fourth phase, and it doesn't work, you know, and you're like, come on, are you kidding me?
Well, and honestly, the thing that slowed me down the most on this whole deal is the fact that my wife is an attorney. So I had to, you know, she kept looking at it saying, can they hurt themselves with it? Can they wreck their server with it? And in all candor, I had considered doing like some power cables and some other more active accessories. And the more I talk to guys I know in the computer case kind of business, you know, they all told me, hey, the minute you go to something active that carries power, you've got to jump into UL. And it just kind of stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets a little more complicated that way. No, this is cool. I mean, I think it's been great for the community to kind of gather around this, and a lot of guys. It kind of tells you how many Gen 8s we've got out there. I mean, I've said this before, but the home server community is not dead by any stretch of the means. No. I mean, it's alive and well, and I look over at the forums. I'm not in them a lot. I haven't had a lot of time. I mentioned in the pre-show that the Gallup podcast has now gone weekly on me, which is good. We've had a lot of success with that, and if you like to follow me over on the Gallup side, you can just jump over at coaching.gallup.com. I do just about every single interview and every single podcast that we surprise, right? That I do all the podcasts for them. And we just went weekly. We have a brand new program called Theme Thursday, where we dig into each one of the Gallup strength themes that that we have. And that has been very well received. Did a big email mass mailing this week and generated a couple thousand for the live show on Friday. So noon Central, 1. By the time you get this, it'll already be done. But noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. Oh, gosh, that's tomorrow. We will have this. This could be a record-breaking show for me, which will be kind of cool to have. What I think will be somewhere, we have over 2,000 registrations now. So what I think will be about 1,000 live, because you don't get everybody. It's about 45 or 50% of those folks that register. And that'll be a couple hundred in chat. So, of course, you know, on Home Tech, we run, tonight was a little thin, we run 10 or 15 out here at any given time, and depends on the evening. There's some good shows. I mean, Idol is on, and The Voice is on, and Dancing with the Stars, although those were early in the week. But we appreciate you, the listener, who comes out each and every week. Kevin, anything else you want to, while I've got you, anything else we should cover, any interesting tech stuff that in the next few minutes you'd like to just chat with?
Not microservers.
Yeah, because Dave chastised me every time we talk about home server stuff on this show. So if it's home server related, we need to get you on the home server show.
I tell you, everybody who has watched these for a while knows I'm not only obsessive, but I'm compulsive. And my compulsion lately, I'm very interested in the home automation products. And really, I went from about a year ago thinking that I couldn't think of a good application for it. The product that I really like right now is SmartThings. Very cost effective to get into. The hub runs you $99, and that's all you need to get started. Now, much like crack cocaine, it reels you in, because all the light switches are $50, and the plugins are $50, and the motion sensors are $50. But they're motion sensors, they're door opening closing sensors. You know, you can really do some neat things around your house. First thing I did was one of the water sensors. I've got a drain in the basement. We've got a large tree out front. About every 2 years, I get a backed up drain in the basement. And this thing, I tested it with a glass of water, and it sends me a text immediately when it senses water backing up on that drain. So that stuff's way cool. And the smart things, you know, lets you merge these different technologies together. And so you don't have multiple interfaces. You can do it through one. The other thing that I've been playing with, I shot a picture of it. I really thought the smart watch technologies was just about the stupidest thing that could ever happen. You know, so I'm so lazy I can't grab my phone, but I'll look at my watch. And for those that follow the Facebook page, I ended up with one at a charity event. Nobody was bidding on a Sony smartwatch, so I threw low bid was $75, and I ended up with it for $75. Frankly, I don't believe they're worth the $250 they are right now, but that technology is things are happening there very quickly. And Jim and I have both played with the Fitbit technology. Fitbit's got to kind of watch it, because I think, you know, already if I get this watch on my wrist that is pretty much a mini tablet, and it is Bluetooth connected back to my phone or my tablet, its ability to gather up information or give me information is kind of a cool thing. So I get, as much as there've been a couple of articles lately that the wearable technology is just a flash in the pan, it's never going to catch on. I think it will. I think it's gonna take.
Yeah, I think it. I agree with you. Yeah, I met with some of the Garmin folks. We were out doing some recruiting, and they didn't have engineers out there, but I had some of their recruiters and such, and I said, hey, so when is Garmin just going to embed steps? The concept of stepping. Or the concept of climbing stairs, because in a Garmin watch, those are the only two things you're really missing. So instead of, you know, that Garmin watch is on all day. The ones the runners wear, you know, they got GPS and you can start them and it tracks. That's great when you're outdoors. The rest of the day, it's just an expensive watch, right? I mean, so take that Fitbit technology, add in steps. I'm sure it's got the right hardware in there.
Mm-hmm.
That would allow you to track steps both walking this way and walking this way. Dude, the Fitbit Force, it's already a recall. So, you know, Fitbit's got a big problem on their hands with that, with the implementation of that. But you have a Fitbit Force, which did, I mean, you couldn't find one of those at Christmas time. They were so popular. I just said, why, Garmin, why aren't you doing this? And they're like, well, we'll take it back to the engineers. I'm like, look, if I thought of it, okay, I'm not an engineer. You guys should be thinking about these things. So, some pretty cool technologies coming up.
Last thing I'm working on, I will share with you, is, and I will do a review of this for your website. My daughter needed a new computer, and I kept thinking about what kind of technology I wanted to get her. And this is my example of, I've been having a real problem lately with the media experts, you know, the talking heads at Engadget and, you know, these different websites who think they know everything. And so Acer, you can question the quality. I've actually had okay luck with Acer products over the years. But the R7 here was this unique design that it got panned because the keyboard on it is way out front. The touchpad is back here. And this hinge, people kind of beat it up because it doesn't lay 100% flat when it goes down.
That's a freaky hinge, man.
It is, but the thing with this is it sold new for $1,000. It's a 1080p 15-inch screen and an i5 processor, and it's an IPS screen as well, so the thing is just beautiful.
Yeah.
And I just bought one of these refurbed on Woot for $479.
Oh, that's a deal.
So, you know, and the different modes, you think about a kid, full touch screen, so she uses it in all these different modes, whether she's playing a game or watching, you know, videos on it. So I like this one from the point of view that it's one of those where all the reviewers just beat it up. Whenever Woot has these for $479, they sell out in 2 hours.
Yeah, that's a heck of a deal. I would put up with that crazy hinge for $500.
Well, and you and I've talked about the common area computer. If you don't have room for a big all-in-one, this is like a perfect, kitchen counter common area computer.
Yeah. No, very cool. That's a great. And so, is that available on Amazon, or is Woot the best place to get it?
Woot's the place that I've always seen them, but I would definitely put a find. You know, Amazon and Woot are blending so much stuff these days. I would definitely put a watch out on Amazon because they get these as well in the refurb state. So, they're pretty cool devices.
Interesting. All right, good stuff, Kevin. I didn't even prompt you for a deal, and he gave me one. Very nice. Nicely done. It's always good to have you. You're our deal master and all things on the Facebook group. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, you should head over to facebook.com/group/theaverageguy. Easier way, theaverageguy.tv/Facebook, and that'll take you to our group. And we just crossed over the 200 mark in that group, and some great conversations going on out there, and I learned something new. And yes, Nathaniel, from times I do sweep through, you know, let me just say, full disclosure, when you guys buy stuff on Amazon, I can't see who buys it. So all I can see is what's bought. So what I do is I go through that list from time to time, and I find really cool gadgets that you guys have bought, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I grab the URL, and I post it out on the Facebook group so everybody can share it. So if you're buying something you don't want me to see, I can't see your name, so be rest assured I have no idea who it is. But Nathaniel kind of, I won't say he called me out on the Facebook group this week, but he was like, hey, I've noticed a lot of things I'm buying you're featuring.
That's because you're a cool guy, Nathaniel.
Exactly. I'm like, well, you're buying cool stuff, man. I can't help myself. So he'd bought this. I don't know if he'd bought it, but there was this really cool concept of a USB charger that was kind of a flat panel with these little dividers. And you could list, you know, it had five USB ports along the bottom, and all of them have the right voltage. And then you could flip those up. And one of them, I mean, even in the one he put out there didn't have this, but one of them I saw later, I think $65-70, had a little tray where you could hide the cords. Yep. And stuff underneath, and it was pretty cool. So that if you have a home, you're charging a lot of devices. That was one of the cooler things that I saw out there. I was like, oh yeah, this is a good idea. So speaking, let me go back to home automation for just 1 minute. If you don't know, we've started a home automation forum. So if you want to join one early and get in, if you go to HA, just the letters HA for home automation, haforums.com, you can go out there. It looks a lot like the Home Server Show forums, and just as nice because it's run by the same guys. And so all your home automation stuff out there in one spot, haforums.com. Kevin, can I, in the next couple weeks, can you let me know when you're ready, and we'll have you on, and we'll kind of do your home automation special.
Sure.
And we'll just kind of walk through some of the stuff that you've been using. Maybe you can pull a few of the sensors, and we can take, because these smart things have kind of caught on, and I think we're finally getting to the point where home automation is going to make it for the average guy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Nest made it a little bit easier, then these guys are making it even easier.
Yep, absolutely. That's where I finally was able to jump into this deal. It's not a lot of black magic and trying to find different bridges to hook things together. Right. There's actually standards behind it. Z-Wave and Zigbee and these boxes talk to each other much like the gentleman we just talked to. I got a Twitter feed here a couple weeks ago, and it was smart things open department meeting, I think it was, and I clicked on it, and it said starting in 10 minutes, and I saw, oh, that was 10 minutes ago, so I clicked on it, it asked if it could turn my camera on, and the next thing I know, I'm in I think it was BlueJean was the technology they were using.
Yep.
So, and boom, I'm in, and the first face I see on the screen is Ben, who's the main designer at SmartThings, and he goes, oh, it looks like we have a Scoon Doggy joining. Hey, how you doing? And I'm kind of like, well, I didn't know I was joining a video, but it was great because it was their design team, and we were chatting about any issues, problems, oddities, things that we were running into, and it's kind of phenomenal dealing with these smaller companies because you can get some pretty ready access straight to their developers.
Guess who I'm going to send a note to? Let's see if we can get them on the show. It'd be kind of cool to have them on with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll just see if I can get... what was his name? Who was the...
It's Ben... Let me...
That's good enough. I can track it down from there. But, or I'll contact him and say, hey, can we get you on the podcast? We'll have you guys talk. And I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, let me bring this thing in for a landing, at least on the recorded version. I appreciate you, the listener, who... Man, if you've hung on this long, you're awesome. Let me just say you're an hour and 20 minutes, and I know you guys break this stuff up when you listen to it and such, but I do appreciate you making it all the way to this point. Next week, mover.io, as I talked about. The week of the 3rd, April 3rd, we're going to do a financial tech, but nothing like you've ever heard before. So you want to come out, and I still have to confirm the guest on that. I booked that a long time ago, and I want to make sure he's coming out. But we're going to talk about kind of the bridge between tech and finance. So if you're kind of a finance geek or you like to do all things money along those lines, we're going to talk a little bit about some of those products. It's been a while since we've done that, and so I thought it'd be fun to bring that on. And then on April 17th, Mike Howard and his gang from JPEG to RAW is going to join us. And Mike and Seth and Tim will all be on. We're going to talk about photography tech, a chance for you to ask your questions. You know, Mike's got a show over at jpegtoraw.com, but not everybody gets a chance to listen to it. This is a chance for you to hear it and listen to it in the feed. That'll be April 17th. That'd be a great one to join us live. I have David Washington. He's a Microsoft evangelist up in Minneapolis, up in your neck of the woods.
Yep.
There, Kevin. He is going to come back on the show. He's had a child and all those things that I couldn't get him on any earlier because he's been busy. David will come back on the show. He was the guy that worked on the keyboard for the Surface 2. And so he and his team worked on that keyboard, and so he's a good guy, and we'll have a lot to hear from him. Then Michael Crump is back on the show May 1st. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up for you here in the next couple weeks, and I want to thank you for listening. We're out here every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv/live. And we will be back again next week with mover.io. And thanks again for using the Amazon affiliate link, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. Kevin, thanks for coming.
Absolutely.
Tonight as well. Great to have you. And we want to thank Daniel for coming in. A really interesting interview, and glad that I'm kind of moving to this new format. This is kind of cool. So yeah. I'm excited about having these industry guests on first. And other Jim said he knows he's awesome. He doesn't need any it's I like this, having these industry experts on first and then talking a little bit about it behind the scenes. So kind of a format we'll follow for a while and see how that goes. And with that, we'll say goodnight. Everybody in chat, thanks for coming out. Good night, everybody.